All right, today we're beginning a series on biblical womanhood, and we say biblical womanhood because we're talking about what God has said concerning and specific to that which relates to us as women, as opposed to what our culture says concerning and specific to that which relates to women. This is, I've designed it, if you would, to be an introduction study. So there's themes in the study that I introduce and that will be covered in more detail in following studies. The intent of this particular study is to just set a foundation on which we can build our understanding of womanhood. Foundation being the basis or the groundwork of something. It's essential for any construction project, right? And certainly essential for a series like this. And ideally, we want to build upon a good foundation. So with the Women's Study email, I don't know how many saw it, but I had included part of a quote from Elizabeth Elliot. And I'm going to read the full quote. She'd said this: "To understand the meaning of womanhood, we have to start with God. If he is indeed creator of all things, visible and invisible, he is certainly in charge of all things, visible and invisible, stupendous and minuscule, magnificent and trivial. God has to be in charge of the details if he's going to be in charge of the overall design." And I agree. We have to begin with the God who is in charge of both the details and the overall design. In fact, the overall design informs the details, doesn't it? A bird is designed to fly. And all the details work together in the bird to enable that purpose to be fulfilled. Okay, the bone structure, the wingspan, the feathers, and so on. And the environment that the Lord created, upholds, and placed her in, facilitates the bird to do what she was designed to do, which is to fly above the earth, across the expanse of the heavens, in order to communicate his glory. When God designed woman, there was a role and there was a function to her, for her. And that is part of God's eternal purposes in creating her. Women have roles and women have a function in this world. And overarching this world, we have eternity. God's eternal purpose behind the design of womanhood is where we'll begin today. But before we open it up further, I want us to understand why this is an essential starting point. And this is why. How we perceive what it is to be a biblical woman and what it is that we are to do and the importance of how we do it and what is pleasing to the Lord in it, like successful, all of that is rooted in our understanding of God's purpose in womanhood. So our understanding or lack thereof will impact the way we live it out. As a woman, what function do I serve that is most meaningful? What is a woman's primary purpose in existing? Is it to be married? Or to be married and have children? If I am single, or if I'm unable to have children, am I less of a woman? The more children I have, the more woman I am. On the other hand, are marriage and children an obstacle to being truly spiritually fruitful? What defines us? How we understand God's ultimate purpose in womanhood will shape how we answer those questions. So I had, on the email, I'd said that you could read Genesis 1. So if you want to defer there, you can. I'm not really going to pull it out line by line because this is more of an introduction, like I said. But in Genesis 1, we read, in the beginning, you're all turning there, so I'll wait. Okay, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Morning, Stephanie. As creator of the heavens and the earth, God is owner. He's owner of all things. Colossians 1 tells us this, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And I want to emphasize that all things were created for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. 1 Corinthians 8:6 puts it this way, for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. You guys get the point. For him, for whom we exist, Christ is the centerpiece of the universe. The centerpiece of the universe. And what that means is our lives, our womanhood, our role and our function is not primarily about us or for us. And why would Scripture want us to know that? Here's the answer. Because we tend to have a bent in us that is self-focused. And we need to understand that we are not the center of the universe. We were not made to be. And nor were our roles or our function, even though they are good things. God called his creation and his order good. But we were not made to be the center of the universe, and nor what we do. Christ is the centerpiece. The theme of Scripture, let me go back, in creating all things, what's God doing? He's revealing himself. He's revealing himself to us, and he is working out the fulfillment of his redemptive plan. So when we talk about Christ being the centerpiece of the universe, that's what we're talking about. God working out a redemptive plan, a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven, and things on earth. That's from Ephesians 1. The theme of Scripture and creation itself points to that plan. And that plan was established, Ephesians also tells us, before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world itself, an eternal redemptive purpose in Christ was established. Now we live in time, right? And something that's difficult to hold on to in time is an eternal perspective. But the Bible speaks to that, doesn't it? We're reminded on a regular basis in Scripture that we're not living for this world, that it's passing away. 2 Corinthians 4 says, We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. That means they're temporary, they're fleeting. But the things that are unseen are eternal. In other words, the things that we see with our physical eyes are temporary. And that's really important insight. Even though we live in time, we're to live with an awareness of the lack of permanence in what surrounds us. To be aware that we live for something greater than ourselves, right? That's what it is to have an eternal perspective. To have in mind our ultimate purpose. So what is that? It's to lay hold of eternal life found in Christ and to be transformed by it. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That's from John 17 and from Romans 8. And in these verses, we have insight into our ultimate purpose and our highest calling. I'm going to have water here. So, Queen Esther, for a moment. Queen Esther was called to the high calling of queen, right? Wife of the king of Persia. That's a high calling. But there was a higher call and purpose that you see there in her story. Her participation, morning Jasmine, her participation in God's plan of redemption, right? God's plan of redemption for the Jewish people. Mordecai seems to suggest this to her when he says, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" A greater purpose, a higher calling. The roles for women are high callings, but woman's highest calling is to know God, and in knowing him, beholding him, to become conformed to the image of his Son. So how does this connect with marriage and modesty and submission and dirty dishes and diapers and all else that relates to the details of the female experience for most? It connects this way. Biblical womanhood is womanhood lived out that flows from knowing the God who created her. In him is found the fuel for faith, the strength for the tasks, the wisdom for decisions, the comfort for the sorrows, the help in all things. In him is found the correction that we need along the way. In him is found our identity and our stability in the midst of change. He gives definition to our roles. He determines what is good. In him is found unconditional love and refuge. And we find that our aim in all that we do is not simply to master the role or master the task, but to be obedient to him in how we do it. And he wants all things done in faith and love. So you see, the details of womanhood were never designed to give us eternal life. Husbands were not made to be the source of our strength. Children were not designed to provide us with identity. The order of our homes were not meant to provide us with ultimate fulfillment. Relationships were not designed to meet our deepest emotional and spiritual needs. Our roles and children and relationships and areas of service are gifts from God, and they matter. They're very important. But our living out of womanhood must be anchored in that which we were made to draw eternal life and strength and fulfillment from. The roles and function of a woman are filled with opportunities to know God and make Him known. Opportunities to learn about who He is, to walk with Him, to experience His faithfulness, to grow in faith. They're opportunities to serve Him and participate in His purposes. Again, they are high callings, but not the highest calling. They are a means to an end, but they are not the end. Okay, so I'm like you, and I want to be better at what I've been given to do. I'm sure we would all say that. And we have questions, yeah, that surround the details of many of the things that we face each day. How do I do that? What does that look like? And while the answers to those questions are important, it's essential that we get the order right. Because what we aim at and what we get back from it will be impacted by what we believe is our ultimate purpose. And what I mean by that is this: the heart of the matter is the thing that makes or breaks the value of what we do. For example, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us the value of love. Many good things are mentioned in there that can be done, yet if love is absent, we are nothing and we gain nothing. So, if we have a day where we're diligent to address all the disciplinary situations that arise with the children, and we got dinner on the table at just the right time, and we managed to keep the house orderly and clean, we might think that was a successful day. But the true success of that day is measured by the heart, right? How were the situations with the children addressed? With what spirit? Frustration, anger, long-suffering. How was it dealt with? How did we get dinner ready on time? With anxiety and shortness with the people around us? How did we get the house orderly and clean? With what attitude? You see how the order is important. And our serving the Lord in these ways has to flow from what we are in Christ. It has to be an overflow of life in the Spirit. An overflow, you would say, of abiding. And it's the only way that we can approach womanhood with a right perspective. It's the only way to weather the storms that are inevitable. It's the only way to have strength for the tasks, true strength, and strength to live them out the way that God has directed us in His Word. Because we're supposed to reflect Christ as we fulfill our responsibilities. Not only fulfill the outward conditions, but the inward requirements. That was the problem with the Pharisees, wasn't it? They were experts at fulfilling the outward conditions, the outward actions, but the heart from which the actions flowed was not full of the love of Christ. Biblical womanhood flows from knowing the God who created her. You could say knowing. You could say walking, like walking with. You could say abiding. I'm using the word know, and the word know, in the context in which I'm using it, it's taken from John 17. It expresses more than an acquaintance with the character and perfections of God. It's to know him in an intimate sense. It includes, Barnes said this, it includes all the impressions on the mind and life. See, knowing God impresses the mind, it impacts the life. So it includes all those impressions on the mind and life with which a just view of God and of the Savior is fitted to produce, meaning it should change us. It includes, of course, knowing God intimately, love, reverence, obedience, honor, gratitude, supreme affection. So to know God, he's infinite. So how does one exhaustively know God or even wrap the mind around who he is? Well, the answer is you can't fully wrap your mind around who he is, but God has revealed himself to us in different ways so that we might have an understanding of who he is. So for those of you who read Genesis 1 or have it there in front of you now again, did you guys see the pictures of the gospel and the creation account? So in the beginning, when the earth was without form and void, and to be without form is formlessness. Chaos is what the word communicates, empty. In the beginning, there was emptiness and darkness. And God speaks and says, let there be light. And light and darkness are strong metaphors that communicate to us in Scripture, aren't they? So, again, you have darkness and emptiness, chaos, like we are apart from Christ. And God speaks and commands light to come forth. Does that bring to mind any verse like this one? God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ is the light of the world, isn't he? In him is life. And if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Anyway, creation itself, light itself gives revelation concerning Christ. Romans 1:20 says that in creation, God's eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. In speaking about the majesty of God evidenced in creation, Job says this, behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of him. In other words, as we look around at the majesty and the power of God in all that he has made, we only see a little bit of it. Okay, so God's revealed himself in creation. God has revealed himself to us in his word. His word is light. It illuminates. It reveals. The word of God is his revelation to us concerning who he is, what is his will, and what's being done for us in Jesus Christ. The word of God is the truth by which we understand why we're here. And it's how we understand and process the world around us and our experiences in this life through the lens of Scripture. It is the living word. God has revealed himself to us in his Son. So from cover to cover, the Bible points to Christ and gives us many pictures by which to understand who he is, right? A lion, a lamb, a potter, a friend, a vine, a shepherd, a bridegroom, a door, bread, water, brother, priest, king, judge, savior, redeemer. John 1 says this of Christ, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And if I can go back to before the foundation of the world, God determined that he would reveal himself to us as a loving Father through Jesus Christ. Again, in Ephesians, he predetermined a plan of adoption, right? That he would adopt us to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. A father is a provider, a nurturer, ought to be these things. A provider, a nurturer, a protector, a counselor, a comforter. God is those things for us as a loving father. God is good. His goodness is unmatched. He's trustworthy. He is holy and righteous. He's altogether lovely. He's kind, gracious, and compassionate. He's merciful. He's just. He's patient. He's long-suffering, slow to anger, strong, faithful, and true. He's beautiful in his wisdom and in his power. His love is abounding and steadfast, and he is unchanging. So he won't be like this today, but not tomorrow. And so maybe you hear all of the things that I just said and you think, okay, what does this have to practically do with the training of my children and the problems in my marriage? So let me connect it. This is the God you serve when you are potty training your child. Okay? This is the God who you have to turn to in your times of loneliness and uncertainty that you will face. This is the God who has all the answers to all of your questions and all of mine. This is the God who's able to change us and make us better women. It doesn't happen apart from him. This is the God who is for you and upholding you in the night watches when you're up feeding a baby, or because you can't sleep because the cares of your heart are many. That's how it connects. This is the God who's in control of your life, sisters. He's in control and he's working out the details for good. This is the God whose love we are to imitate toward one another and our children. This is the God who created woman and determined her boundaries. This is the God who made the universe and to whom we can bring every concern, every problem, every complaint, every fear. This is the God who holds all wisdom and authority. He knows all things. This is the God whose will we are to do. And this is the God who prescribes for us how we're to do it. He is the source of all life and love, and we need him in so many ways. We need his help. We need his wisdom. We need his patience and his comfort and his correction, his grace in our lives as we walk with him, right? As we walk with him. All these truths about who he is and what he has said are confirmed as we experience them in the details of our circumstances. Do you see the connection? As I mentioned in the beginning, we build on a foundation. So the purpose of this study was to set out a foundation for womanhood. So if it's going to be biblical, we have to build it on God. And we get everything we need from him to do. As God's children, we've been given the ability to do something. to see something, I should say. We've been given the ability to see something. I mentioned this word in multiple verses that I just read earlier. Did any of you pick it up? It starts with the letter G. Glory. Close. Carissa said, good. Glory. Did you guys pick up the connection? He's shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The heavens declare glory of Christ. We have seen his glory. So, glory. I totally lost my place. Okay. Glory. Sorry. Glory is high honor, magnificence, or great beauty. And the glory of God happens to be powerful and transformative, right? I'm going to read you a verse. It'll connect the glory. And we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So we have, if glory is magnificence and great beauty, beholding his magnificence, beholding his great beauty is transformative for us. It produces worship and likeness. Worship and likeness. And that's what we want. We want to grow in Christ-likeness, reflect his image, and serve him in whatever sphere of life we are in with a spirit of worship and dependence. If we are drawing from this fountain with a capital F, we will be full and overflowing, right? And we will have sufficient resource with which to serve and pour out. There's a fountain there. It's very different. If I'm going to the fountain and scooping out cups of water and going over here and watering other things with it, it is another thing to be drinking for myself, right? How do mother birds feed their young? They first digest and then they share it. Biblical womanhood, if I can't hammer it in enough, biblical womanhood flows from walking with, abiding in, and knowing the God who created you. And again, the design informs the details. The bird was made to glorify God and to be a picture of his power and divine nature as it flies in the heavens. Women were made to be a picture of his power and divine nature as they bear his image, know him, become like him, and make him known. God is using the details of womanhood in real time to make eternal things a reality. So I want to do an exercise for those of you who have pen and paper or a phone that you can type into or just lock it into your head. I want everyone to take a minute and I want you to write down one or two characteristics of God that you can think of that you see in creation or you see in his word or you have experienced through another person. Write them down and why that's meaningful to you. And I'll give you a minute to do that. The question, Can you think of, and either put it on paper or put it in your phone or in your head and hold on to it, a characteristic of the Lord that you maybe see in creation or have experienced through others or in your relationship with the Lord that is meaningful to you? And then why is it meaningful to you? You could do more if you want, Annette. Did you finish, Lydia? Vanessa, I might grab that microphone. Oh, Bethany, I might grab that. Thank you. You're doing good, Samuel. All right. Does anyone want more time? Oh, Vanessa's going to pass it. Okay. Now, you don't have to share. I'm not going to make you share it. But would some of you be willing to share what you wrote down? You put your hand up. Vanessa can bring the mic. Carissa.
I wrote three that comes to mind. God's magnificent timing. His timing is always perfect. How God loves and his divine power. He shows me daily how much he loves me and how proud he is of me, even when I doubt myself. And I have seen the power of him working in every situation that I am facing, and how he rewards obedience. It has been by my full submission to him and even releasing control to him, and things that I wanted to hold on to that I thought would bring me comfort or help me through life's hard situations. He has showed me how complete surrender, just how good he is and how he rewards obedience. Those were the three.
I also wrote three. I wrote that he is all-knowing, and that comforts me and encourages me because I don't have to have all the answers, but can simply seek him for them. That he is unchanging, and I can depend on him and trust him and take him at his word. That he is sovereign. No matter which way things go, he is in control.
And that was helpful for her because she realized she doesn't have to have all the answers. Okay, who's next?
I also wrote down three. I put grace. I'm undeserving of God's grace. Mm. And I love how he gives us that grace, you know, and freely and love. How God loved me first, before I even sought after him. God loved me while I was still a sinner, and he died for me. And compassionate and mercy, how compassionate the Lord is, and that he sees us in our weakness and our brokenness, and he rescues us. It's a merciful God.
Yeah. Before you give the mic away, why are those things meaningful to you?
Because I'm undeserving, and he gives me grace, and that's God's grace, and it means everything. I can't do it on my own, but he's gracious to give me his love and his compassion towards me. And he loved me so much that he went to the cross for me. And he's merciful. He's very merciful and compassionate. He sees us at our lowest. He sees us when we think that we have it all together and we don't. And he looks at us and helps us.
Who else?
I just put down two. Mine would be his patience with us and his faithfulness to us. So for me, it's just, you know, like when I was living in sin and he was faithful to, at his time, save me and didn't turn his back on me. And it shows me to be that way to others, with my family, with my brothers, with my parents, my coworkers, you know, that that we continue to pray to be faithful and trust his plan for us, that it's good, and that in the end we win, not here, but eternally, like you said. So those two things are what means so much to me, is that he is patient with me and teaches me in motherhood, even as a wife, to display that patience. And then just his faithfulness to me, it's beyond words. It's just shows me who he is.
I put patience as well. And then, yeah, the psalm that talks about his steadfast love, I feel like my love is like this, and just his is constant, knowing it never goes away. Like, what a rock to just rest in. It's not dependent on me, but his love is steadfast and never changing.
I put goodness and faithfulness. It's kind of hard to almost articulate. Like, it is obviously meaningful, but it's challenging to articulate why. I guess with his goodness, it's because, like, his character and his heart towards us is always good, as opposed to, like, not good or evil. And then faithfulness, I guess why that is such a meaningful attribute of God is that it's like as time goes on and life goes on, it's like you're continually experiencing that despite you and your failure and weakness, he's still constantly good towards you. So, yeah.
I also put three. I know a lot of people have already said faithful, but that was one of mine. Just that he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't forget his promises. He's not fickle. He always keeps his word to us. But that God is loving. He's an infinitely caring father. He's always just. He's never harsh or mean. He shows kindness even when rightly disciplining us for sin. And that he's compassionate. When we're struggling physically or spiritually, he always gives grace and help, even if we don't recognize it at the moment. I always know when I look back, I see it.
So you see, you have experienced the Lord revealing himself to you through the details of womanhood, right? I mean, how can you say, well, God's faithfulness means much to me and his patience, unless you've experienced that as you live out your life in real time, so to speak. And that's God revealing himself to you. And that is your anchor and your source, knowing the Lord, drawing from him, gaining strength from these things, from these truths. So take now the things that you wrote on your paper and think about, okay, what is my current struggle or challenge or fear or question or whatever, and connect that attribute to that How does that character quality of the Lord speak to that thing for you? You don't have to share it. I'm going to ask you to share it. If you wanted to, you're always welcome to put your hand up and share it. This is more just for you. Knowing the Lord, experiencing his patience, experiencing his goodness, experiencing his faithfulness already in your life, how does it speak to this thing that you're looking at? How does that fuel your faith that in drawing from the Lord, you can face this, walk through it, that you can obtain direction, whatever it might be? You see where I'm going? Biblical womanhood is going to flow from knowing the Lord. We have questions about our children. We have questions about marriage. We have questions about lots of details. But if we are not drawing this from the source, it's going to really lack substance. Okay? And, okay, I'd mentioned this earlier. It's easy in the day-to-day to lose eternal perspective. And the Bible talks about having an eternal perspective, right? But we can lose awareness of the big picture. And yet, the big picture, our ultimate purpose and God's big eternal plan, is really helpful for us because it puts everything in perspective, right? I said that we can have this bent where things are all about us and we're the center of the universe and we see our problem and we see our desires and we see this and this in the immediate, and we zoom all the way in on that. And we lose sight of the big picture, and we lose sight of perspective. Well, we don't have perspective because we're so close. You guys ever done that? You ever zoomed in so far on a picture that it's pixelated? But in drawing back and you have perspective and you see the big picture and you look at it from a completely different vantage point, that's where we got to be. Big picture looking in. So I have just an illustration for this that Vanessa is going to help me with. It's not exactly how I wanted it to go, but neither was all the papers falling on the floor. So we're going to roll with it. Up here in a moment, you're going to see a picture that if it was ideal, we'd be zoomed all the way in on this bird. And the bird itself, you would know, you can't tell from here, but if this was ideal the way that I wanted it to go, you'd see the details of the bird and you'd probably admire the colors of the feathers and you'd think it's cool and pretty and all those things. All right. But we're just looking at the bird. We have no idea what's going on behind. That's like zooming all the way in on the details without looking at the details in vantage of, or say, from the eternal vantage point. So, Vanessa, let's see it in eternal perspective, the illustration. Okay? Look how much we miss when we don't look at the big picture. Okay? Biblical womanhood's going to flow from knowing the God who created her. There is a bigger picture. And it's glorious. It's much more glorious than when we're overly focused on the details. You know, that bird looks so much more beautiful in that sky than when we were just zoomed in on the bird. See, the details of womanhood are beautiful when we look at them from an eternal perspective. It's a completely different level of glory. So in the book of Job, I know this sounds like I'm going somewhere else, but I'm not. In the book of Job, when God spoke out of the whirlwind and answered Job, where did God direct him? Where did he direct him? He set forth, and creation declares the divine power of God. What is it? Eternal attributes. I had this verse at the beginning. Creation itself. I don't know where it is. Is it that one? Say it. Shout it. From the beginning of creation. Yeah, okay, I found it. So from the beginning of creation, God's eternal power and divine nature. Okay, so if creation is a demonstration or a picture of God's eternal power and divine nature, and God directs Job, his mind up there, to his power and divinity, right? Here's the exercise. He had Job zoom out. Am I making sense? Zoom out and consider my eternal power and my divinity, who I am as God, okay? And since I'm talking about zooming out in big picture, I want to give you all an exercise to take home if you want to. I heard this in a sermon and I thought it was really good. So this was recommended as daily preparation, if you would. Take a few minutes to just gaze. To just gaze. You can go to passages in Job or in Isaiah or Romans or even Genesis 1 to just gaze. To just look at how big God is. Just look how big he is, how wise, how powerful, how beautiful he made that. How loving, how majestic. In doing that, we can teach our hearts to rest. We can train ourselves to look at things from an eternal perspective that God is God, that he is in control, that we can be still and know that he is God. He's in control of the details of our life. All right, well, that's what I have for us today. The next study will be on being made in the image of God as a woman, and we'll work our way through the details, but from this vantage point, from an eternal perspective, you were made to know him and to become like him. That's your highest calling, and that's working out in the details. Does anybody have anything they want to share? Or ask? I don't mind. Go ahead.
I just thought it was really eye-opening when I wrote down what my current struggle, challenge, or fear is, how directly related it was to the characteristics of God that encourage and comfort me. And I think that shows that though my flesh, because what I wrote was that my current struggle or fear was I'm not sure what to do and fearing what may come. And the characteristics I wrote were that, well, he's all-knowing, he's unchanging, and he's sovereign. So it's like, though my flesh may have fear, my spirit takes comfort in knowing, like, your spirit that's connected to God, that knows him. So I think that kind of speaks to the war in the mind of the flesh versus the spirit of God and its sovereignty. I thought that was interesting.
Mm. Dawn, do you have anything to share? I saw you writing. I know you're a writer. I always see you taking notes.
Oh, sure, I'll share. As far as your first question, I took a little bit of a different tack on it as far as this characteristic of the Lord experience in others. And what I wrote was care and compassion from sisters, specifically when my daughter was having surgery and I was in California and Sister Annette called me and said she was praying for me. And I was like, oh, I was on the verge of tears because it's like, it's just so sweet for her to remember. And a characteristic of the Lord experienced in creation, just beholding his magnificent and beautiful creation during hikes. That's why I love hiking, because it's so spiritual because it's like you just gaze, you just think and meditate on. He just created all this beauty, and it's just, oh, I just love it. And then also, I'm just really thankful for the Lord to be able to stand in the gap through prayer for other people, and when others do the same for me. That's it.
What about you, Vanessa? You want to offer your thoughts?
No, everybody covered the characteristics that I had listed. Faithfulness, patience, mercy. Sort of like Jocelyn, when I wrote down my struggle, I realized he's my source because my struggle is those characteristics. So I need to turn to him. Always, daily, every minute, every hour.
It's interesting how we know things and we sometimes fail to connect it. Makes a big difference. You got two plugs out there. It's like they're both plugs, but you connect them. It's like, whoa.
It's brokenness.
There was no light, and there's light. Miss Garcia, do you have anything you want to share? You made the trip out here today.
Something like is in my heart as you all talk. And I hope that it's not off. But I think this is about the compassion of God. I don't know if I should say this, but as far back as I could remember and as I grew up, my mother was a vicious child abuser. And she chose me. So all the years that I was growing up, I couldn't understand why I had to have her for a mother. And she was bad. Like, she used to beat me and she used to yank my hair. And when I was a teenager, she used to bully me. And I was just so damaged that when I was 18, I tried to kill myself. And growing up like that has its effects. Like today I have my anxieties or just, I don't know, I'm kind of damaged, right? When your whole life your own mother hates you and you don't know why. But I am so grateful to the Lord because He rescued me from that. It's real. You know, His love for me is a very real thing. And I think back and I think, oh my God, all that time that I was going through that, I thought nobody was hearing my little girl screams. I thought nobody saw that teenager that was being destroyed. And all the time, the Lord knew that He was going to save me. I mean, of course, like, He'll do that for anybody. But His compassion is real to me.
That's beautiful.
The scripture, I'd have to look up and see where it says, but I think it might be in Ezekiel where it says, even if it's possible for a mother to forsake her child, I will never forsake you. That no matter what human cruelties we may face, the Lord is so faithful. His love is unchanging. And his heart breaks when his children's heart breaks. And we're never alone in that. But that, I think that verse is really encouraging.
Jasmine, you taking notes?
Yeah,
you can look it up.
I was thinking about how holy God is, how pure and undefiled He is, and that really gave me reassurance in the fact that I can allow His Holy Spirit to work through me, and that is a means of grace. You know, it's not, I don't have to earn or work, you know, for righteousness, you know. So just resting in the fact that He is holy and He is going to work in me holiness and help me to be holy. So yesterday I was struggling. I just feel like I was just down. I don't know what it was. And this was helpful to just make sure I'm looking up, not looking inward, looking at the circumstances or the situations or my feelings or trying to understand why, but just gazing, like you said. So that was very important to hear you say that. So I appreciate that. Just the perspective shift. It's hard in the moment. But yeah, that was super helpful.
Stephanie, you're smiling. Your smile got you in trouble.
So this week, I didn't know what the topic was going to be about, but so this week I was reading in 2 Peter. And I think all of us are familiar with the verse that says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So it's kind of, I just thought it was interesting how there's these attributes that the Lord is calling us to obtain, but they can only be obtained through the Holy Spirit. And above, He says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world. So I was really encouraged, although I've read this several times, but it was just extra, I guess, encouraging for me just to reread it and hear that and reassess things, like you said. Unless we're doing things by the Holy Spirit, unless we have the right mindset and we're looking to the Lord for these things can't be obtained, or if they are being obtained, they're not going to honor the Lord because our mindset's not right. But I was just encouraged by that. I was like, the Lord's given us the greatest gift. He's given us His Son. He's saying here, He's given us His we can obtain His Holy Spirit, and we can have that divine power to fulfill these attributes of Christ. I don't know if I'm relating or like explaining this right, but that was the, I guess, more or less the gist of what I got out of this that was really encouraging to me. Yeah. I don't know if you want to say anything else about the scripture.
What's the verse again? Give me the reference.
2 Peter 3, let's see, through 5, I believe. Yeah. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1.
Chapter 1, verse 3? His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, so we have everything we need for lives as women. All things that pertain, you'd think, are relevant to life and are relevant to godliness. He's granted to us. And He's granted it to us through knowledge, which is interesting because that other verse, He has shown in our hearts to reveal the light of the knowledge of the glory, goes back to beholding. He's granted us these things through the knowledge of Christ. And it's in Christ that He's given us His promises. And yeah, through His promises, we are transformed. Because what's His commitment to us? That He would conform us to the image of His Son. He made that. It's a commitment, Jasmine. That's what you're like, He's going to make me. He is. He's committed to that. There was a sermon that I heard about suffering, which meant a lot to me when I listened to it. And he was talking about, you know, there's different forms of suffering that we can go through. And in the context he was talking about it, he was talking about physical suffering. And he said, you know, God cares about your body. He designed it. But He cares much more about rescuing you from your sin, which is what He is doing in conforming us to the image of Christ, transforming us, sanctification. All those words like point to the same thing. Rescue. He's rescuing us and changing us. Yeah. Annette likes that the NASB says precious and magnificent promises. Magnificent. See, when we have this high view of God and we're looking from His this vantage point of like eternity, things look different, right? Doesn't it put everything in a helpful perspective? It's not just God in His word encouraging us to look at things from an eternal perspective. We're just going to look up here and deny that this is real and whatever. It's not that. It's just vantage point in light of. And wasn't Paul say that? These are light and momentary afflictions in light of. And so looking at our day-to-day things in light of. It does a number of things. It helps us to make good use of the time, right? Doesn't it stir that? It's like, okay, eternity in view. I want to make good use of the time. I want to be faithful. It also gives me that sense of resting in the Lord in the sense of the big picture. It takes my eyes off little troubles, right? Little things, because you know there are littler things. It's like, yeah, in light of eternity, I don't need to worry that I can't find my sock. You know, it just puts in a helpful perspective. It's not denying, anything that's part of real life here in the time, but it helps us look at it in a really good way. Biblical perspective. Next time you guys look at the sky and the birds, you think big picture. The birds, you guys, I was in my backyard and I was just watching, and there are these birds just, you know, you're seeing them do that? They just, yeah, they're just, they look like they're floating. Do you like kind of doing this dance? But they just, and I thought, okay, in Genesis 1, there are zillions of species of birds. But anyway, that's beside the point probably. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds, his first command before he tells them to multiply is actually, let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. Just, so I was in the backyard and I was just watching them. I was thinking, man, they're just doing what God made them to do. They're just looking beautiful in the sky. Anyway, life is short. Eternal perspective. We'll get to the details, I promise. But from this vantage point. All right, I'll close this out. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the beauty that you've given us eyes to see. We thank you that we get to see it. We thank you that we have you with us. We thank you that you made us women, and women that can talk to you and walk with you and learn and grow and serve you. And Lord, it is beyond fully comprehending all of your wonder and all of your majesty and all of your beauty and all the things that you've made, including us and the way you've worked everything out. We just thank you for Christ. We thank you for the wisdom of your word, the truth in your word, your faithfulness, your goodness, your patience, your kindness. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us all the more to be aware of you around us and to behold you and to gaze and to be all the more filled with faith in who you are. Thank you for this study. Amen.